UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
Time now for the V Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
I don't think that's supposed to. Yeah, there we go.
Huh? What? Oh, we're on? Hi. Welcome to the show. Nice to see you. Yeah, it's these new things, you know, they have to always change the power jack on your phone. So I have an old iPhone one, but there's a little adapter they sell which you can put over the end of it.
That's kind
of
cool. It makes it an Android.
I couldn't figure out how to put it on there.
Yeah, I saw you kind of struggling.
Yeah, but now
because you had your headphones on, I was like, all right, he's ready to go. And then the music was wind out, and I was like,
I was dialed in. I was dialed in.
Thanks for picking up the Millantonies today, by the way.
It's Millantone Monday.
Yeah, it's in there.
Thanks to our friends at Millantone. They brought today some fantastic big ziti. It's so
good. Is that in a vodka sauce? It looks vodka saucy.
I don't know. It's just delicious.
Oh, it's fabulous.
Pasta Millantone, their signature dish. Check them out. They always have great food, and they have great deals. They have a $5.99 lunch special, which goes until 2 p.m. every day. So if you don't have plans for lunch, it'd be worth your trip over there. They're all family recipes.
Now.
No, seriously.
Right now.
I was thinking about when they first started to where they are now. And humbly, I think we may have contributed a bit because our enthusiasm is real, and people sense that. That's no... You know, but we were talking about them well before they came on to be a sponsor here. They're great people. And they've got a cool thing going on. Millantone's catered our Kentuckiana Friends of V Night of Hope and Inspiration. And Yaya is donating a portion of the wine sales to the V Foundation. How great is that? So we appreciate that. Speaking of wine, summer happy hour and drink specials. They have whole bottles of wine for just $25. A dollar off wine and beer during happy hour. Homemade sangria, just $7. Pitchers are $15 during happy hour from 2 till 5. They have a new Italian punch, which is quite refreshing for summer.
Yes. Drink responsibly, though.
Yeah, $7 a glass, $15 a pitcher. Very delicious. Two great locations, one on 1600 South Hurstbourne Parkway, right off the 64 East exit 15B, and also a brand-new location down there in Bardstown, 1008 Commerce Boulevard. Tell them ESPN sent you, and you'll get an order of free garlic cheesy bread, which is extremely tasty, and we always appreciate their support. Kentucky's Little Leaguers are playing. They're in the consolation bracket. They're playing Australia. And right now, the
3-1 top of the
from
fourth.
The Commonwealth lead it 3-1. They're batting with two out in the top half of inning number four, trying to extend their lead. Is this it? They get one game and then they go home, or do they play through a consolation bracket? Or I don't know what this is exactly.
I'm not sure.
I think this is it.
Yeah, I think this is it.
I think they
it.
Take all the teams that were eliminated in the double elimination, and then they can play. Over in the consolation. They get one game. Australia did not look very good, to be quite candid with you, against that country I can never say. What is it again?
Curacao,
thanks.
I think that's right.
Yeah, I think that's right.
There's a liquor.
Yeah.
Well, a liqueur.
So maybe they can get this win against the boys down under.
Orange or blue Curacao.
Yeah, should be. They got a guy on with two out here. Oh, my God. David Blatt was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. He's still going to keep coaching his team over there in Greece. It's Rick coached against him in that league. Speaking of Rick and speaking of Louisville, is Tim Sullivan going to join us in his usual Monday spot?
1:15, yes.
Okay, so he'll join us.
I renewed my subscription
to
the Courier-Journal at the State Fair and got a really sweet umbrella.
You keep talking about it. I still haven't seen it yet.
It's in my car. It's pretty tasty.
Very nice.
You were out there yesterday.
Did you send a show sheet?
No, I've been running Lock Show. Sorry.
Oh, that's right. So we don't have anything for our show, right?
We'll have some stuff.
Bach had, he had you know, Bill Belichick on, and you know,
Jesus actually
came back for a quick visit. Us
very much for expanding the college football playoff.
Well, even I venture to say, even Jesus would feel that way. By the way, not for nothing, because there's games tonight that could end it. But the what is it called? I can never remember the name of our league. Which, by the way, why haven't you signed up for yet?
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, 12-14, I've already gotten yelled at for four different things.
At least you're keeping score at home. The Premier League Fantasy League that doesn't cost anything that we put together.
Oh, our uninformed.
That's uninformed.
Uninformed football league.
Would you like to know who the least uninformed is right now, though?
Me, because I'm not in it.
No. First place after the week number one, actually week number two of the league, we didn't start it till week one, is yours truly.
Hey, there we go.
That's right. Let me see. I could be reading this wrong. Yes, current rank is number one. Guess who's number two?
Who?
It's.
Ah, in your face.
Yeah. But knowing him, I think Manchester United plays today, and he's probably got a lot of Man U players, so he might catch me. I've got the goalkeeper they're playing against, so hopefully he'll make like 9 million saves.
Am I allowed to still sign up?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Just go, anybody wants to play, there's 9 teams in it right now, and it's primarily for people like me. There's only about 4 guys I've ever heard of on my team. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Six people I've heard of on my team. So, you know, you guys can get in there and be as uninformed as the rest of us. It's a lot of fun. It's very simple. You go to Premier League, and then you go to the Fantasy, and you enter that code, which... he sent me, and I don't know if I have in front of me now. If rats. Well, if you want it, I'll dig it up again. Dang it, he sent it to me. I know he did. It's so simple. You don't have to, like, I hate to say it, but the fantasy football can be confusing because you got to find the league, then you got to find a code. This, all you do is type the code in, and not only takes you to the league, that code is your password to get in. So, oh, and I remember I gave you that mnemonic device to remember it. It's Texas.
Oh, Mets. M3T.
The last three is M3T, but the first one are University of Texas at...
Arizona.
No, it wasn't. It was University of...
Arkansas.
University of Arkansas at Texas. So yeah. It's UAT. M3T.
T-S.
No,
there's
no
S. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So that should be it. So there you go. You see that? The Harry Lorraine Memory School. Anyway, we're going to try and get Tim to join us. I must confess, I have not watched the entire 5-minute deposition of David Grissom. He has. And so I want to pick his brain about some impressions he got, because some of the stuff and the discussion that surrounds it, you know, this is not my favorite thing. I'm not a scuttlebutter, but it is as newsworthy as anything here, because... this is the former chairman of the board saying some really scathing things about people before him. And the reason that that's relevant is some of those actions of the people before him might impact the program going forward. I don't know. Nobody knows. You don't have any idea how the NCAA is going to look at this or how or why. But it is very interesting. And also, the fact of the matter is, we're trying to figure out everybody who is a person who is of legal background says... I've heard more than one person say this, that, you know, if you've got a rooting interest, boy, I hope he's telling the truth, or I hope he's not telling the truth, or whatever. I'm not here to take a side on that. I'm just saying many of the legal people that I've heard have said, usually if a person goes in the room and perjures himself, there is a motivation, a self-interest, if you will. And the question about this is no one can seem to figure out if that were the case, if he were committing perjury, why he would be committing perjury, because what would he be gaining from it? That's the thing that people are wondering about. So that would mean that many people are saying, well, then he must have been telling the truth. And if he's telling the truth, then it also leads to the question well, now what? Like, if that were the true story, if the true story is that the president told him that there was somebody on the board that was providing the money for the most hideous scandal that they've had here involving the strippers and hookers and all that stuff, how in the world does this discussion not come out of it? As I said before, I can't get past common discussion would be, okay, who? And he says he never asked. And that makes you wonder, why wouldn't he have asked? And why wouldn't they have reported it? There's so many more questions about this that I don't understand. I don't even understand why he brought it up in the first place. That's what I want to figure out. What? How was that relevant to what they were talking about? With Kathleen Smith, isn't that her name? Kathleen Smith's lawsuit? I don't. None of this makes sense to me. So, I don't know, maybe Tim, because I didn't watch the whole 5 minutes, so maybe if I watched the whole 5 minutes, it would suddenly be crystal clear to me, but I don't think so, because it certainly looks like there's as many questions that have been raised as there have been answered. This is a disturbing one. They just can't put enough stuff in the rearview mirror. You're talking about Rexy Karma, because I've had maybe five interactions with the guy in 20 years here. He's always been nice. He certainly has won matches. He's been a very, very successful coach. He was a fine player there. He's trying to position it as well. They just wanted to get a new coach in place, so they were positioning themselves as well. We have to, because his behavior is so scandalous. As having coached at five different institutions and seen this firsthand, when there is I hate to use the term witch hunt because we throw that around too much, but if it is a witch hunt, I mean, I've seen it take place. And it's an ugly thing to see when it happens. The question here is, as the information, the bad thing is whenever a guy's in that situation, he makes that allegation, one of two things has to come out of it going forward, and neither of them are very good. One is it is a witch hunt, and you say to yourself, well, that seems to be an awful way to do business. You're firing guys just because you don't like them, and you're trying to perpetuate bad thoughts about them just so you get rid of them. Or they are true, which means that these things have gone on. He's been here a long time, for a lot of years, and they went unnoticed. You can't win that battle. You just can't win that battle. The only thing I can tell you is I don't understand. Again, I always ask the logical question, for what possible reason would Vince Tyree just decide, I want to get a new tennis coach, so I'm going to try and concoct some stories about this guy so I can push him out? That it's a non-revenue sport. They've been winning. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. So my guess is the three-month investigation said they found that he pressured athletes to play through injuries, forced them to play outdoors in near-freezing temperatures, made discriminatory jokes about players' ethnicities and women. In one instance, supposedly he said, whites are better than black people. I always find that. I once told a joke to my team at Catholic U that if you took out of context is the most, it was funny, but it was also an inappropriate joke. I probably shouldn't have told it at all. But if you put it in the context of which it came up, you would understand and say, oh, okay, I understand why that was attempt to be funny, and it was funny, but it probably shouldn't have said it. But like, why did he just walk in the locker room one day and say, well, I have an announcement, team, white people are better than black people. Okay, here's what we're doing today at practice. I mean, does that make any sense? So I don't know. And you always hear that there are people that are afraid about retaliation. And that supposedly is what the report said as well. So I don't know. He said mid-inquiry, the university said there were no NCAA criminal or Title IX violations, but told me little else. That's the part about this I always dislike, is it always seems like the person who's being investigated never gets to know what's going on. And that's always unfortunate. But anyway, that's just this kind of like a cherry on the bad news Sunday here. I don't know. It's just, it'd be great to just hit a nice stretch of, I mean, I remember that year when they won all the, they went to the bowl championship.
The year of the Cardinal.
The year of the Cardinal. They went to the New Year's Day Bowl and the Final Fours and national championships and College World Series and all that stuff. And, some of that's tarnished in hindsight now, but unfortunately. But, boy, it was fun when things are rolling. And now it's not been rolling. So, all you can do is, I think as a fan, what I look at and I say, they've got a football coach that's easy to believe in right now. Now, he's said himself, we haven't played any games yet, but he seems like a level-headed, down-to-earth, good guy who knows how to build a program. We saw him do it at a place that had much fewer resources. So I'll be fun to watch him. It'll be fun to see. I think they'll be improved from last year. I think they'll certainly be more disciplined. They'll show, as if they're, for lack of a better term, better coached on the field. They won't have 13 man on the field penalties and crap like that. So it's going to be fun to watch them. Chris Mack hit the ground running in ways that a lot of people didn't imagine he would. So I think basketball's in, I mean, they're ranked number two in the preseason. And who is that? John Rothstein's poll. Whether that's, you believe that two or five or eight, who cares? The fact is, when Chris took the job, people talked about they would be a train wreck for four years before they could even recruit, let alone win games. They went to the tournament last year. They're recruiting very well. You know, there are people like Pat Forty who think that these most recent stuff that's coming out may lead to a ban for a year. I still think it is not a matter of GM rooting for Louisville. It underscores the absurdity of the NCAA policy because, you know, there's nobody still here, literally, from administrators to coaches to players. That doesn't make any sense. Doesn't mean the school should not be punished, but, you know, there's got to be ways that you can – it certainly hasn't proven to be a deterrent because we've seen guys – I mean, the Louisville got whacked, and then right after it, the assistant coaches were out there breaking all sorts of rules. Bruce Pearl, when he was at Tennessee, got whacked, and the next weekend he was violating a rule of the recruit at his house, whether you say it was an oversight or not. The fact of the matter is it's not a deterrent. It's not been a deterrent. And so that it's not serving its purpose even in that regard, and it doesn't seem to be particularly fair. Not about the North Carolina thing where you say, well, some schools get away with it and some don't. It's just, you know, if you want to say, well, we punish people even though the players aren't still in the program because it's an institutional thing, then hammer the institution. Fine them. Say you can go play in the tournament because these kids had nothing to do with it. This group has nothing to do with it. The way they put this team together was not in any violation. Go ahead and play, but you're not getting any of the revenue. That'll get people's attention. Trust me, since 98% of the decisions made on colleges and college administrators have to do with money. So, maybe that. I'm not sure I have the answers. If I were, I'd probably be on the payroll and be a high-paid consultant. But my point is, it's, you know, you're just trying to look. You've got Jeff Walls, who's built a perpetually powerful program. Dan McDonald's just continued on. They have a new soccer coach, but I think he's said all the right things early, and he comes with great credentials. So I think they're going to continue that success. The women's sports, almost across the board, are building and growing, and the people that they've got new people in places, and like softball, they had a new person last year, but I think they're stepping forward, and so I think there's a lot of places to hang your hat and say things are going in the right direction. So, but you also this is the lesson, such as it is for even the athletes involved, it's that there are ramifications, and so there's ramifications to be. From these past actions, and they're going to have to deal with them. But, this last episode, just to me, the reason it's so troubling is because it just muddied the creek. If somebody came out and said, here's all the questions that you've had, here they are all answered. Okay, here they are. Boop, answer this and this and this and this and this and bup, 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 bup. And then you say, well, that was really unpleasant, but at least we know what went on. Then you can say, okay, here's what the penalty is going to be. Finally, once and for all, it's behind us. The people we have in place now, they're not doing business like that. Let's go forward. Bang. But it just seems to be the gift, the unpleasant gift, that it's like the in-laws who won't leave. They're just still on the damn couch. Would you just get out, please? Kentucky got out of a little bit of a jam. They had some errors in the fourth inning, but then they stranded a couple of Australian base runners, so they still lead 3-1. They're batting in the top of the fifth with one out in a good game. A lot of people are there still in Williamsburg. What a great experience to play in that environment, I'm sure, for these kids. I'm so impressed at the skill level across the board, watching these catchers frame pitches, and it's just it's pretty remarkable stuff. There's some really good players from around the world. So, speaking of baseball, as you know, I subscribe to the Courier Journal, the hard copy, which is nice, kind of a old school, bend it around the coffee at the table and read it that way.
I signed up for that at the fair the other day.
That's what you said. So I'm getting Newsday electronically, and so I read that largely in large measure. Hey, it's keep tabs on what's going on back where I grew up, but also they still have a great sports section. They've got columnists and beat writers, and they cover a lot of stuff, not just in New York, although they certainly cover the New York teams. Well, one of the things they're doing, it's the 50-year anniversary of the New York Mets winning their first World Series in 1969. And so what they do is they go back and they find the score of the game that day. It's kind of like on this day in 1969. And so it's fascinating to me to go back and look. First of all, they're still way behind in the standings right now. It underscores just how dramatic a run it was in September. They were way behind. But this is today's. I just have to read you this because it is... It's got nothing to do with being a Met fan. It's got to do with just being a sports fan. And if you have any, even a remote interest in baseball, this is fascinating stuff. I got to scan through here to the sports section. Indulge me here. All right. It is the New York Mets playing the San Francisco Giants on this day in 1969. And,
nice.
Thanks. And the final box score. Oop, I went so fast. I overran it. Back up. Back up. Back up, back up, back up, back up. Here it is. This is pretty amazing to me. The New York Mets played a game against the Giants, and they won by the score of 1-0. Well, good pitcher's battle. The game went 14 innings.
Wow.
They scored a Tommy Agee hit a walk-off home run in the bottom of the 14th inning. The game was at Shea Stadium, as it was then. That's where they were playing. And they won 1-0. The pitcher for the New York Giants, Juan Marichal, pitched a complete game. He pitched 13 and a third innings.
Wow. Holy cow.
The game went 13 innings, and there were three total pitchers used. The Mets pitcher, Gary Gentry, went 10 innings, got no decision. Then they brought in a guy who frequently closed for them, but it was not that big a deal about closer. He did it. Ron Taylor did it. Tug McGraw, the country singer Tim McGraw's dad. Hmm. Tug McGraw pitched the last four innings and got the win, 6-2.
Wow.
6-2 is his
record.
How
long did the game take? That's what I want to
know. The game going 11 innings took 3 hours and 44 minutes. That's about a 9-inning game.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah.
So, but 1-0, Juan Marichal pitched the whole game, gave up six hits, struck out 13, and he went 13 and a third and got the loss. Gentry pitched 10 innings, got no decision, and McGraw got the win. And the thing that's amazing is, in the 10th inning, keep in mind now, Marichal started the game for the Giants. It's the 10th inning. The Mets get a single by a guy named Cleon Jones. They bunted him to second. He stole third. So now they've got the winning run at third with one out. I guarantee you there's no manager today that's letting that guy stay in the game in the 10th inning with a winning run on third and one out. But they left him in the game, and he got the next two guys out, and they didn't score. And
wow.
They marched on. It's just it's unbelievable.
It was a different time.
It was a very, very different era. The Mets at that point were 8 games behind in the division. There were only 2 divisions in each league, East and West. And this was the first year of divisional play, and they were trailing the Cubs by 8 games on this late date before they actually came back and won it outright. So when you look at the standings in today's paper, that's why you really can't write off anybody, which is why I think it could be a very entertaining last month here, the regular season in Major League Baseball. The Mets won another series. They did okay on this road trip. They went 3-3, and they're
punching.
They're definitely in there punching, but they're not alone. The standings are. I mean, how close this is. This is what baseball's fun.
We'll do a 6-10. No, we'll do a 6-10 on the other side of the break. No.
Right now, you want to do?
No. On the other side of this break, we'll do a 6-10.
Oh, all right.
But I want to get to this just real fast.
Go ahead.
This would be a good way to wrap up segment one.
Breaking news?
Well,
is even more news? What did
well,
I leave
no,
out?
No, no, no. The NCAA college football final preseason rankings came out from
Louisville
the AP.
In there?
Sadly, U of L is not. UK is not. And UK did not receive a vote. The coaches poll and the AP poll.
Wait, let me guess.
The first 10 are identical.
Clairvoyant. I'm going to say Alabama and Clemson are in there somewhere. I'll bet you they are.
I bet you they are. Guess which one's first?
I bet you that, who won the championship last year? Clemson, they always put the returning team
first. There you go. Clemson's first.
That's what they always do.
Alabama's second.
Didn't have to look.
All right, so what's after Alabama?
Well, I don't know. Somewhere in this mix are going to be all the usual cast of suspects. The Ohio States of the world, the Michigans, the Georgias.
Georgia's third.
I don't know if anybody in the Big 12 is supposed to be any good.
Yep. That's number 4 is a Big 12 school.
It's Oklahoma.
There you go. Boom. You go. Look at that. Number 5
is Ohio State.
There you go.
Yeah. Didn't
6 LSU, 7 Michigan, 8 Florida.
I said Michigan.
9 Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that.
U of L's opening opponent, and Texas rounds out the top 10, and that's the exact same in the coaches'
poll. So unusual. Those are not teams you normally see. Oh, wait a minute. That's right. Those are the teams you see every damn year at the start of the college football bowl. That's right. For a minute, I was confused, and I thought, wait a second. It's the exact same teams.
The only real local team receiving votes, I guess,
Center
would be
College, number 23.
Actually, Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. I knew it was a C. I knew it was some C team. I couldn't remember. It was Center or Cincinnati or Canisius or somebody.
Wait, that must be Virginia State. What the hell?
No.
Yeah, no, my phone is, or they just made an egregious typo.
Virginia State, there is no, I think there, I'm not even sure that exists. There's a Virginia Union, I don't think there is a Virginia State.
Let me see. Fresno State, there we go. Okay, yeah, no, my phone just, the screen got weird. It's Virginia Tech, Fresno State.
There is
go.
A Virginia State University, by the way.
Yeah, Virginia did not receive any votes. West Virginia received votes. Virginia Tech received votes, but Virginia did not. But the formatting on my phone made it look like it was Virginia State.
That
would
have been impressive. Virginia State is a historically black public land grant university in Ettrick, Virginia, which is near Petersburg. It's actually 140, not quite 140 years old. It was founded in 1882, so that would be, right, 100, just under 120, yeah, just be, it's 137 years old. Average cost after aid is just $15,000. It's a good deal.
Yeah, it's reasonable. So, absolutely.
Virginia State University is one of Virginia's two land-grant institutions. Who's the other? UVA?
What's
must be, right?
What's their mascot? There we go. I couldn't think of it.
Virginia State University. I'll give you multiple choice. Let's see if you can figure this out.
Okay.
It's hard to find. They got to find sports. I'm not sure. Where the hell is sports? Recreation and leisure? They don't have sports teams?
Just clubs, I guess?
No, they must. They have teams.
They have to have some kind of...
They play kickball.
Hey, there we go.
By the way, you know what's a big story in Newsday today? What's that? Interesting, because this city embraces... There's two stories that are actually of local interest. These are worth mentioning. I have to confess, and you're going to want to yell at me, and that's fine. It wouldn't be the first time.
Hmm. Word.
When they made the announcement that it looked like Louisville was going to be a possible destination city for the National Professional Women's Soccer League, I remember
NWSL, what the, I think?
NWSL?
Yeah, I think it's NWSL.
NWSL. I was like, I hate to say it, but here we are again. It's, you know, we are always seen as a great place to bring a minor league sport. And I know the women can get as mad at me as they want, or you're declaring that we're a minor league. But, I mean, and after I'm done giving my mea culpa here, you may still think that it's minor league. There's a big article in the Newsday today about the team that plays out of New York. They play at Rutgers Stadium. Rutgers Stadium seats about 5,000. And the women hate it because they don't even have showers there. They said it really feels Bush League. But they played a game, their last game, at Red Bull Stadium, where the MSL team plays.
Right.
And they drew over 9,000 people.
There we go.
So now the question, now you can say, well, the bats sometimes draw 9,000 people. I don't, you know, so is it the best level of women's soccer in this country? Sure it is, and I hope they succeed. And if we get a franchise, that'd be great. I just don't know how much it perpetuates the thought that, you know, the MLS, Major League Soccer, MLS goes to St. Louis, they go to Nashville, they go to Cincinnati, they go everywhere but here. They surround us, but they never come here. And it's the same thing with the other big leagues. And that's just, it's disheartening because I don't know how you change that perception, but for some reason you can't. And, you know, I think that's a shame because I don't think it takes away from any of the college situations at all, but it's an added benefit on your landscape. And, you know, so but again, maybe I misspoke. Maybe I should be thrilled. Hey, this is the top league at least. You know, the men's soccer, it's not the top men's soccer league. It's not the top baseball league. But this is the top women's league. So we got the highest professional league in a sport in town here. So if they come, I'm getting jumping ahead of myself. But if they were to come, I guess maybe that would be a step in the right direction. The other thing is, since we embrace things like, I think the National Kickball Association, I think they're located here in Louisville. I swear I think they are. And
I'm pretty sure they are. We looked it up. Yeah, some
kickball
form of, yeah,
is huge here. Cornhole is, you know, fantastically popular here. The new thing that has taken off is pickleball, which looks like great fun. Well, Long Island plays a game called beach tennis. Have you seen this? You play with a paddle. It looks like a paddle ball racket. And the ball is a tennis ball, but it doesn't bounce as high. It's decompressed somehow. And the net is... It's like the same size as a beach volleyball court, but the net is not as high as a volleyball court, but it's higher than it would be for a tennis court. And the ball is played, the game is played, you have to hit the ball all obviously in the air. You can't play it off the ground. It would be in the sand. So I think you play doubles. I think it's doubles. And it supposedly is growing like gangbusters on Long Island. So I don't know if anybody played around here. I don't know. It looks like it's a fun game, a fast game. So, nice play at third by the Kentucky third baseman to take an extra base hit away from the little Aussie kid. Backhand side to the bag, throws him out. Very nice. Kids can play a little bit. Very impressive. But that's just interesting. There's a big article about that today, about how I guess they've been playing it there for about 15 years. And they got a couple of big
tournaments.
What's
the name of it again?
Beach tennis.
Beach tennis.
you've probably seen the tennis balls I've seen in these shops. They look like a traditional tennis ball, but one panel is yellow and one panel's red or orange. I'm not sure what that other color is. They're two-colored.
I think I have seen
those. Yeah, I thought they were just training balls for tennis, but I think they're technically beach tennis balls. So anyway, that's interesting also. So there you go. All right, we'll take a short break. We'll come back with 6 and 10. Tim Solomon joins us a little bit later. Your comments welcome, 437-9680 at the UPS. Whose text line is this? What text line? Who are we text line?
The UPS jobs text line.
I was
437-9680.
I said it, yeah. And I cut myself off.
And then Twitter.
Sure.
It's a Fan Outfitters Twitter.
That's it. Fan Outfitters Twitter. There you go.
At ESPN.
Sure.
V Show. At
right.
ESPN 680.
Exactly.
At ESPN. No, wait, at @N_ValV24. Which once I hit 2,000 followers, I vowed I would change everything. My bio, my picture, my...
No, so follow Nick so we can get him off that stupid Twitter handle.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back. ESPN Radio. Stick around. Fast Break Friday, we're back. The Athletics' Jeff Greer joins us right now. Frequent appearer on our radio station, various roles, hosting, guesting, coming here, and he actually painted the offices last week. Did a really good job. We appreciate that. Jeff, thanks for being with us.
Happy to do it. How are you, Bob?
Good to talk to you. Let's get into the meat of the matter locally here. What the hell just happened with Louisville in the last week with David Grissom? Apparently coming close to losing his mind completely and saying, there hasn't been enough damage done to the program. Let me see if I can throw a little gasoline on this fire and put it out. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure what else he could do with a deposition, right? I mean, I think that part, you're kind of stuck in a rock and a hard place. You're under oath. So those are always challenging. But look, I mean, I think... part of me has always wondered when you run into situations like this, what a person is thinking when they're in these situations. You know, like what was his thought process going into it? Did he know that he was going to have to talk about that specific stuff? How did he plan on addressing it? And I realize if you really truly don't know. The answer to the follow-up question of who specifically are you referring to?
Exactly.
The best answer is, the best answer is I don't know, but he's in a tough spot. I mean, he's got to tell the truth. So
yeah, no, nobody's suggesting he shouldn't be telling the truth, but the question is, I mean, it was a very, what's the word I'm looking for? A very thin layer of credibility to tell the truth, because that whole conversation doesn't follow logical English, does it? I mean, a guy says to you, one of our fellow board members may have been funding one of the biggest scandals in the school's history, and then they say to you, well, did he tell you who it was? And they say, no, and he said, I didn't ask. Who in their right mind would not follow that up with the first thing out of your mouth would be, oh, my God, who? That doesn't make any sense. So it's either...
Well, there is...
Go ahead.
The one thing that I was thinking is there is... an element of human nature to think, do I want to know?
I hadn't thought of that.
I mean, I realize when you're a chair, you probably do want to know, but there's always the plausible deniability has been a common phrase at the University of Louisville for going on 5, 6, 7 years now, hasn't it? So you always wonder if there is an element of, I don't want to know the answer to that question. So, in order to retain that plausible deniability, maybe you just didn't want to ask that question. But obviously, none of us were there, so it's hard to kind of be in that situation. That's logically for people like you and me, that's definitely what you would think the follow-up question would be.
How much damage did it all do, do you think? I mean, you've heard some other colleagues of yours come on these airwaves and say, well, I'll be surprised if they don't get another postseason ban down the road. What do you think? And that may not be related specifically to that testimony, but it certainly can't help.
I think... I generally have tried to stray away from making proclamations like that. If others want to do that, that's fine. I think it's a really interesting situation because of the mitigating factors when you get into the FBI stuff about firing everyone, but then you go back to the institutional side of things, the program side of things, repeat offenders. It's going to be, in my opinion, by far the most complicated of all the cases. Maybe Arizona is the other one that would be high up the list in terms of complicating factors. But yeah, it doesn't bode well when you start adding in people at the administrative level revealing things like that. And it's certainly something that they can look into in an investigative side of things. So the key word in any notice of allegations will always, keep telling people this, program control and institutional control. If those two things come up, look out. That's not good. But again, it's hard to make those predictions. Even now, especially now with the new complex case unit and all these different new committees that they've created, it's going to make it even more difficult.
Talking to Jeff Griff from The Athletic here, I'm not trying to be gloom and doom or trying to turn you into Nostradamus, but that's what we do here. We're just trying to kind of read the tea leaves, and it's unfortunate because it seems like they just can't get all this in the rearview mirror, Jeff. I'll be honest with you. It seems, if you're a fan at the very least, that's certainly just annoying, if nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, it's a story that never dies. I mean, I think I'm curious if Grissom was, and this may be out there, and I've been out of the office this week. I've been up in the Cape with my family in Cape Cod, but
nice.
I'm not sure if this has been out there, but I'm not sure if he was interviewed by the NCAA, if that ever came up with them. So, I mean, that's the type of thing where it's like, now, wait a second. During our process, we never came across this in our inquiry, but this is now new information. How does that change that whole dynamic, too? So, yeah, I mean, I get it from the fan standpoint, and I would get why the NCAA would be frustrated with its own enforcement process. And I think that it just adds fuel to the fire, and it's a question of whether or not what's the statute of limitations on all that stuff as it is applied to NCAA stuff. But yeah, it's just the trickle. I'm sure they felt that way feel that with the Patino stuff as well and the lawsuit and all those things also.
Mike Pratt's here with us, of course, and I want everybody here to listen to this and then get both of y'all's comments. Michael Avenatti, who's a bit of a character to say the least, there's a piece that Pat Forty, Pete Thamel, and Dan Wetzel wrote for Yahoo Sports, the headline of which is Avenatti Motion alleges Nike was willing to pay Zion Williamson and other college stars. And the question is about this, and Dan Wetzel joined us. What about his motivation here? I mean, you know, and is this headed to a settlement or what? Here's what he had to say about Avenatti, and then I'd love to hear what you guys have to say about that whole situation. Here it is.
Stormy Daniels' attorney,
right.
Always arguing with Trump. He's, he is what he is. He is a nightmare if he is sick on you. And he is fighting for his freedom. And he has been, Nike claims he extorted them. He says he was just trying to represent a whistleblower. He got arrested. He's fighting for his life here. And he isn't going to stop. He isn't going to play nice. He doesn't care. So this is kind of the X factor in this, is that he's determined to uncover as much possible about Nike and show Nike was corrupt. And so you have a guy like that who's going after the biggest shoe company in college basketball and the biggest power broker in all of college basketball recruiting. Who the heck knows what, you know? I mean, this could peter out or it could be a lot. What other emails does he have? What other text messages does he have? What other proof does he have? What other people, that, you know, where is it going? So that's, I don't think that, you know, yesterday's story clearly shows that pretty much everything they accused and convicted Adidas representatives of doing,
yep,
the Jim Gatto and Merle Code, they were doing at Nike.
Yeah.
And we always knew that. Adidas wasn't bidding against itself.
Right.
On stuff.
Exactly.
Okay. But it's Adidas that got nailed. It's mostly Adidas schools, Louisville, Kansas, North Carolina State. They got caught up in this trial. And of course, everyone sat around and go, well, what about the other guys? Where's Duke? Where's Carolina? Where's Kentucky? Where's all the other schools that deal with Nike? Why was only Adidas really gone after? I don't know the answer to that, but the Michael Avenatti is basically running his own FBI investigation. And I, you know, again, you can think anything you want of the guy, but I don't think anyone would sit there and go, he's not someone who's capable of mucking things up and creating, finding dirt and going hardcore right at the throat of whoever heck he wants.
All right, boys, Jeff, what do you think about that? What do you agree with? What do you disagree with?
I mean, I think when it comes to that kind of stuff, Wetzel is as good as it gets, as knowledgeable as it gets, and I think he hit all of that spot on. I mean, obviously, I think when anything comes up with Avenatti at this point, I think it'd be dangerous to just say, oh, take it with a grain of salt. But at the same time, I think you know the devil that you're dancing with when you're thinking about everything involved with him and the way he's been out front and everything and flirting with a presidential bid. I mean, there's a lot there. But that said, I want to see what proof he has. I want to see what evidence he has. And I want to see what else there is. And Dan is right. I mean, I think we've all kind of thought this whole time there's no way in heck that Nike isn't involved in all this stuff too. Like you said, Bob, they're certainly, they've got to be bidding against somebody. So it's just a matter of time before I feel like someone else brought Nike up. I think it adds another fascinating twist to an already really weird, long, complicated story that has unfolded in college basketball.
Mike? You always knew Nike was in there because both those shoe companies are very competitive. They both have tried to get the best possible representation they could get. So you had to figure Nike was in there someplace. What you don't know is you do know that they're very strong in the grassroots, and anything has gone in the grassroots over the years. Hopefully that'll change, but there's a lot of crap that's gone on from all sides. So with this guy, Avenatti, I've got to wonder, what does he do so well to find this stuff out that the FBI couldn't find out? Or if the FBI found out, they don't want to release. I don't know. They're not releasing everything they have for whatever the reason. So he doesn't hold a lot of weight with me until he comes with some real evidence. And I'm not defending Nike. I think Nike's probably right in the middle of it, right with Under Armour and Adidas. But does that mean that colleges are involved? That's the real question. If they're doing it at the grassroots level or doing it somehow along the lines of the Dawkins character in the colleges are or not involved, that's a different slant on things.
Well, he's got, I mean, evidently this guy got fired and he was the whistleblower. That's how he got involved. And he's got a whole crap ton of texts here that are pretty specific about money and amounts and within the company. There's a guy, again, it was through
money to players.
EYBL. Yeah. Willing to pay Langford, Zion, and $70,000. They should stay aggressive, get creative within the budget. They actually have a budget for this kind of stuff. So it's
promotion
hard to.
Promotion budget. Sure. It's a promotion budget.
It's hard to
budget.
Think it's going to just go away, but. I don't know.
Well, the Zion thing's gone away with that piece about helping the stepfather and a new house. Well, that just disappeared. And that came up strong, what, 2 months ago, guys? 3 months ago? I don't know. Where's it gone?
Well, that's the good question, because when this story first broke, if you listen to Dan and Pat Forty, they were convinced this was going to be like a major, the heavens fallen, and it really hadn't played out that way. So I don't know where it goes from here. We'll have to see. Let me ask you this, though, Jeff and both of you guys, before we only got a minute left or so with Jeff here. The this is also from Wetzel, talking about this 600-pound gorilla in the room, which is that they just refuse to acknowledge the powers that be, that these kids have a value. Here are his comments.
With these guys getting some money, or a lot of people would. I think what this case, and even yesterday, and certainly during the two trials, just proved beyond any debate is that players have an enormous value even before they get to college. And anyone clinging to it's about the name on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back of the jersey. Yes, you can get more popular by going to Duke. Yes, you can go more popular by going to Kentucky. But these guys have value. Brian Bowen, Tugs Bowen, was paid $20,000 by Adidas to play summer basketball after his sophomore year of high school in Saginaw, Michigan. He was not Zion Williamson. He was not the number one player. He was like the number 30 player.
Right.
But that, the NCAA wants to pretend you're not worth anything. You can't take any money. There's no money.
All right. What about that, guys? And how much is that, Mike, to your point, about more about the shoes and the value of the shoe companies than the colleges? What do you make of that?
Well, it's they've learned a long time ago. And Sonny Vaccaro got it all started. You get after these guys when they're young. Now they've taken it to the far right or far left, however you want to look at it. I mean, they've gone overboard in getting involved in many times the wrong way with these young players. But they've decided a long time ago that's the way to go.
Jeff, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, and look, the longer this goes where the NCAA is signing billion-dollar contracts with TV companies and you've got 20,000 people going to games. And I mean, it's just, this has always been sort of where we were going to go, where it's this sort of cognitive dissonance between all of that stuff and the value of these guys and trying to argue that they're just student athletes and they're just worth tuition and board and all. I mean, it's always been this sort of weird dichotomy that was always going to become a real issue at some point, and that's where we've arrived at, and it's no surprise to me that the enforcement side of it has been where it's really kind of flared up in a lot of different ways.
We got to run. Top of the hour means we got to take a break. Jeff, it's always good to talk to you. Enjoy your time with your family, the Cape, and we'll see you when you get back. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Jeff Greer with us. Mike Pratt stays with us. We got another hour of Fast Break Friday here on ESPN Radio. Stick around.
With UPS, Future You graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future You goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today, delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination online at bluegrasskarting.com.